Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Higher Connections. This is obviously Eric. I am recovering from a pretty nasty cold, so I apologize for any blowing my nose or coughing over the microphone. Hopefully I'll try to keep it down here. We are joined today, or I am joined today, by someone I met on Twitter, which is a funny place to be if any of you all are on Twitter. Interesting world of its own that I've gotten somewhat used to over the past, call it 10 months or so that I've joined. But this gentleman, who I'll let him introduce himself, I met through Twitter. His name on Twitter is the Cannabis Patriot. And I wanted to have him on just because his tweets are very interesting and kind of to the heart of what I've been trying to do for the past, call it 10 months, just get the word out about cannabis and the legalization aspect of it and educating people about THC and some of the benefits there. But the Cannabis Patriot who has joined me has some pretty interesting views. But why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? Feel free to say as much as you want or as little as you want here. But I think we're just going to get into some conversations about what your background is and what your viewpoints are. All I know about you is you live in Pennsylvania and you're pro-cannabis. So I'll let you kind of dive into some of the rest of your background and kind of what your take is on cannabis, and we'll go from there, man. But thanks for joining.
Eric, thank you for having me on. Yep, I've been on Twitter with this account, the Cannabis Patriot, for over 3 years now. I actually started it right around when Governor Wolf announced he was supportive of cannabis legalization. I actually started the account with a couple other folks. I was involved in a group on Facebook called Pennsylvania Republicans for Legalization, which sort of disappeared. initially started the account with that title. And, you know, the guy that sort of started that group, he and I had a little falling out in a sense. We kind of went different directions with how we wanted to advocate. He, more or less, from what I understand, I'm not going to mention his name, but he kind of fizzled out. I haven't heard from him in a while. But I more or less evolved the name because I took it over and just became a personal thing, not something representing a group. It started out again as Republicans for Legalization, and I'm a registered Republican. I've always voted Republican for just whether that was right or wrong, I don't know. But, you know, these past few years, I've developed a lot of frustration with the Republican Party, and that's, I think, conveyed fairly clearly in my tweets. But I come from a Republican, conservative side of the political aisle, and that's sort of my theme. But so I changed the name of it to the Cannabis Patriot, just as an individual thing. But from a personal perspective, I'm 39 years old. I'm married. I have 3 kids. I'm a physical therapist. I'm a healthcare professional. I'm a fitness advocate. I'm an athlete. I played sports my whole life. I played college lacrosse. I've done competitive bodybuilding. I did a show last year. I take good care of myself. I'm family oriented. I work hard. I work 2 jobs. The theme I'm trying to bring to the table on Twitter with cannabis is that I'm trying to break the stoner stereotype and promote cannabis as something we have a right to do, but also it's not this bad thing that we've been sort of led to believe over the course of like literally a century. It's not often. You really don't hear about people on the right advocating for cannabis. I mean, you just really don't. There are a lot out there who say they support it, but they're not out there advocating for it. I'm trying to be that person. That's sort of the theme. I kind of bring a lot of like right-wing outrage, I think, toward it. And that's sort of my theme, in a sense, to try to generate more people from that side, like support from folks on that side. It's a struggle. How successful I've been, I'm not sure, but yeah, that's sort of the idea there. But basically, I believe human beings have a fundamental right to plant medicine, and that is the central theme of my of the platform. We have a right to access this plant It's been used by human beings for 10,000 years as a medicine. And 100 years ago, the government came in and said, so you can't access this anymore. And they've criminalized it. They've destroyed lives. Millions, literally millions of lives have been destroyed by this, what I consider an unconstitutional infringement on personal liberty. Not only have they destroyed lives through criminal records, imprisonment, etc., they've wasted a fortune. Who knows how much money they've really wasted over the course of the past century. But, you know, reading different things, it's like on average, what, 10 billion years, something like that. There's a lot of very good conservative right-wing talking points to be made in favor of cannabis reform. You just unfortunately don't hear it. And that's what frustrates me more than anything, I think. You could probably sense, if you're following my account, you can sense a lot of frustration. And I think the biggest frustration from my end is that there's just too much apathy. There's not enough people advocating for this. And I think there's a couple reasons why. I think a lot of people are a little nervous to come out and say, hey, I do this. And that's largely because it's been criminalized. You know, if you're a working professional, you got a family, people are very hesitant to come out and just say, hey, I do this. And people should be allowed to do it. That's part of it. Another part of it is there's a lot of people out there who think this is just kind of like a funny issue. It's not that big of a deal. But people are still getting their lives destroyed. People get arrested. They get a criminal record. And it changes the rest of their life. All over a plant. And when you talk about cannabis legalization to people, again, they think it's a silly issue. And when you think about it, in some ways it kind of is. My mission, my goal here isn't necessarily, I've said this in a lot of my tweets, isn't necessarily legal sales. It's about ending penalties for people who partake, for people who cultivate, people who possess it, people who stop hurting people. That's it. This is something people can just grow themselves. I think down the road, there's going to be a legal framework and there's going to be a retail market, and that's coming. And that's important for sure. But the most important step right now, in my opinion, is just to stop unnecessarily hurting people. And this is where, like, my what I want to see happen right now, and again, my goals have sort of evolved over the years, but like right now, what I want to see is just, like I just said, like, let people grow it. Pennsylvania, there's a bill that's going to come out probably the next month. And my understanding is it's going to be a bill focused on retail sales. And that's great. That's something we need to be working for. But I think in the interim, because I don't think we're there yet. I don't think the support's there in the Pennsylvania legislature. I think we're still years away, unfortunately.
So just to stop you there for a second, sorry. Okay. And just no so problem. I understand. So first off, I'm a Democrat, and I went to school at Penn State, but I saw many, many different viewpoints. And what I think is great about this topic is it can and does bring people of many different backgrounds, many different ideologies, many different religions or non-religions together, because we all feel the same way. And everything you said, I completely agree with. And, you know, the fact that I'm anonymous and I'm a professional, I'm a working professional, is for that very reason that you said, because there's this stigma that if you do cannabis or you're a pothead, that you can't have a successful career, you can't be responsible in any sort of fashion, which is just insane to me. But what I want to understand a little bit more is what's the reason, you know, not just Pennsylvania, because I've seen this across the board. You know, there's folks on Twitter, you know, moms against pot and Christians against pot or whatever. Mm-hmm. What's the reason that you hear people on the right or conservative people are against cannabis? Because for me, what I've usually heard is, you know, it's a drug, it messes with your brain, or there are religious reasons. I'm just curious what you hear from the people that you talk to that are conservative or that might be more religious, why they're against cannabis legalization or decriminalization.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I mean, the vast majority of people I talk to on the right really aren't opposed to it. It's just they don't think it's a priority. They don't think it's worth government spending time on it. Now, that's one segment. That's the majority of conservatives, I think. Then there's a percentage of people who are outright against it. And I think those people are just ignorant and misguided. Now, again, it depends who you're talking to here. Are you talking about conservative voters, Republican voters, and people, or are you talking about politicians? I feel like that's like two different animals here.
Yeah.
Because my honest opinion, when you talk to politicians and engage with them, I think they're either flat out. I think they're just flat out lying. I really do. I think they say things like it's a gateway drug. They spew all the Reefer Madness stuff that's been debunked for years. It's like, don't you have access to Google? Don't you have an Ivy League degree? Like, you can't figure this stuff out. It's right there for you. So that's one thing that frustrates me beyond words. But anyway, the average prohibitionist voter, honestly, I don't think there's that many out there. Honestly, I think the majority of them just don't really care. A good friend of mine, I will admit, he's a good college friend of mine. He's kind of a prohibitionist, I will say, and it frustrates me beyond imagination. But these people seem to think that there's just nothing beneficial to come from legalizing it. Like, making it more available just encourages drug use and you know, let kids know that it's okay to do. And it's like we look to the state for permission for things. These are conservatives who don't want to hear what the government has to say about anything, but apparently they care what the government says about this. Strange. But I think the big thing is it like legitimizes and encourages it when they think it's a drug like any other drug. So there's ignorance there, and then the state's like encouraging use. I think that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah,
and makes sense.
It does make sense because I see it all the time. And the question is, how do you change that? And, you know, part of what I'm doing, why I wrote my book that I don't know if you've read it or not, but part of why I've done that is because I switched from alcohol to cannabis almost three and a half years ago at this point. And the reality is I've heard from so many people that said, yeah, I gave up alcohol and I switched to cannabis and my life is exponentially better.
Nice.
Not just physically you feel better, but mentally. And so, you know, whether it's legalized, which I hope it is, and I hope criminalization is a thing of the past, just educating people about why cannabis is not the devil and it's not a gateway drug is important. And I think that's why I'm doing it. And I think that's why you're doing it too. But how else do you see or think we can encourage and educate people to learn more about cannabis so they don't have these feelings that it is evil? Like, are you doing anything other than Twitter to organize events or organize?
Well, I will say this. Yeah. So on a very personal, like public, I have a Facebook account with my name on it. I actually have a Twitter account, my name on it. And I promote it that way as well. I'm just nowhere near as loud and obnoxious as I am on my Patriot account. But, you know, like, honestly, I've gone down to Harrisburg a couple times. I've met with legislators down there. I've gone to rallies. In fact, I actually spoke on a podium at a rally once, which was pretty cool, and just gave my spiel about how Republicans are blocking this, yada, yada. I promote it. On Facebook, I put my name on it, and I post articles and this, that, and the other. This is where it gets tough. I mean, you just said. I mean, I want to share my story with my name on, in a sense, and tell them about, because you and I have had the same experience with alcohol. It'll be 6 years this fall. I haven't been 100% alcohol free, but 99%. I say 99% because literally I would say that's probably true.
Right.
What I should do is develop the courage to put my name on that story and tell the world about it. And it's tough to do.
It is.
maybe one day I will. I think that's something people like us kind of need to do, though. Like, honestly, like, you know, I'm a college educated person, I'm a healthcare professional, and I've seen firsthand the benefits of what cannabis can offer, especially for somebody who has any kind of substance abuse history, specifically with alcohol. I think people like us need to just be more courageous and more transparent and open. You know, I often think about, you remember the ice bucket challenge thing they did on with ALS?
Oh, yeah.
Remember how like viral and effective that was? Mm-hmm. I often think about what would it be like if we did some, I don't see it ever being like this, but if we did some kind of campaign where someone like me does it, a quick video, says, I'm a cannabis consumer. I've been doing this for X number of years. I'm coming out, so to speak, and I encourage you to do the same. And like make that this challenge. Like the month of April, like we instead of like we have Pride Month right now, like Green Month or Cannabis Month or something like that. And that's what people do, this kind of campaign. Something like that would be cool. The idea is you know, your average, like everybody, but people come out and just be honest about it. Try to promote that. That might be really helpful, I think.
Well,
you know what I mean?
If you kind of get that, let me know. I'll have to think about it. You know, it's hard because I
thought about it. I mean, it's very hypothetical and like, you know, how effective it would it really take off? I don't know. But I think that's kind of what's necessary is people like us, you know, working professionals, educated. You know, I'm not sure. I have a family. People like me need to be more honest about it.
Yeah.
To demonstrate that it isn't just like quote unquote stoners.
Yeah.
It's successful working people.
And that's what I say. You know, in opening my book, I say, you know, everyone thinks of a pothead or a stoner, or someone, you know, these kids sitting in college watching, you know, the hair grow or some caterpillar crawl up their arm. I mean, that's not the case. You can have cannabis as part of your life and still have a successful family, a successful career, without it being stigmatized that, oh, you do cannabis. Okay, I get it. You know, we all grew up, and I'm a few years older than you, but we all grew up with, you know, Nancy Reagan scrambling some eggs on TV and saying, you know, drugs are bad for you. And I did a podcast with one of my buddies about a month ago where, you know, he had never tried pot because that's how, you know, he envisioned it in his brain. It was like, well, you know, I get it, but, you know, that's part of why I'm doing this is to say you can be totally successful and consume cannabis and it's not the end of the world. But I like that idea. I'm just, you know, I think we need more creative ways to reach politicians and to reach more successful and influential people. And obviously there's folks like Wiz Khalifa and Snoop Dogg and Seth Rogen and Joe Rogan that are out there, but I don't really see them pushing for it. It's kind of like they do it.
Right. Yeah, that's known. A great point. That's a frustrating. You probably maybe seen some of my posts about that. Man, like, what's that? Like, there's so many celebrities. These people have huge platforms, huge audiences, and we know they participate in it. This is what they do. They enjoy it. And yet they're not advocating for it. They're not advocating for reform. I just don't see it. Like, Hollywood people, crickets. You know, musicians. Like Wiz Khalifa, you just mentioned. I mean, he's like making money. I don't see him promoting cannabis reform in any way whatsoever. What's that? And then he like gets mad when people call him out on it. It's unbelievable. Seth Rogen, I mean, he does a little bit, but again, he's cashing in too. He's got some little business going. That frustrates me big time. You know, I'm just I'm a middle class guy. I'm nothing special. To a certain degree, I'm putting myself out there. Where are these people? They have all the money in the world. They got all this power, and there's nothing. That frustrates me. Even Joe Rogan, I mean, he promotes cannabis a little bit, clearly. I feel like he's kind of falling off that a little bit and promoting all this right-wing stuff, which, whatever. But there's not enough advocacy coming from the Hollywood people.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's probably a reason for that, right? Because the politicians that you need to get on board to get cannabis federally legal, they're not going to be listening to the Wiz Khalifas and the Seth Rogans. I mean, they're just going to say they're Hollywood elite and, you know, they're just following the money. Are there other people that you've seen, again, maybe not necessarily within your friend group or your local group, but politicians or influencers on the right that are more conservative that have come out in support? Because I haven't, but I haven't done a lot of research into it either. I'm just curious, is there anyone that you know that is pushing for it that is more conservative that you've seen? And maybe not just in Pennsylvania, but maybe nationally as well. And if you don't, that's fine. I wasn't expecting.
I'm trying to think. I know I have. I'm trying to think of specific people. I mean, like, are we talking politicians or like Hollywood people or just in general?
Yeah, I mean, more politicians, right? Someone that from the conservative side of the fence you feel like could be someone to push this through or to influence other conservatives.
Well, like, this example, the Koch brothers. The Koch brothers, I mean, they run Americans for Prosperity. ASP has come out in favor of legalization, and the Kochs are behind that. I mean, they're extremely again, this is where it's like, geez, there's all this. People allege that the Koch brothers just like control politics and drive everything, and they're supportive of it. That said, I don't think they're vocal enough about it, but they've put money into this, and there's still this huge blockade. But that's an example with the Koch brothers and their group, Americans for Prosperity. Like in Pennsylvania, his name's Charlie Giroux. He's a very well-known. He's very politically connected. He ran for governor. Wasn't successful. He ran on the Republican side. In his campaign, he did not promote cannabis reform at all. But I can even say in the article, but he did write an article a few years ago in favor of legalization and actually suggesting Republicans take that on as a way to, like, you know, win elections.
Right.
He was in favor of it, which is just strange. Like, why him and not all these other guys? I don't really get it. But do you know that name, Charlie Giroux? Giroux.
Yeah, I'm looking.
He's like he's a CEO of some company. If you look him up on Wikipedia, he's listed as like Harrisburg's most politically connected guy. Hmm. And he ran for governor, and he's really tight with this guy who runs CPAC. What the heck's the guy's name? Forget his name now. Escaping me. Again, he's not a big advocate for
Matt Schlapp.
Yeah, Matt Schlapp. Yeah. He's buddies with him.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I'm with you. There's not many. And again, you know, these guys are doing it, but they're not coming out in favor of it. It's great. Oh, here's an example. I'll give you two. Here's a go. You know who Matt Walsh is?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, he's crazy, right? Very, very right wing conservative. You don't get any more conservative than him. He's as right wing as it gets. Yeah. I mean, he's very, very fixated on transgenderism stuff right now.
Okay.
But like years ago, he actually wrote a few op eds promoting cannabis legalization. Now he fell off of that. You won't hear him say that anymore. And I don't know what that is. If it's a deal he has, a Daily Wire or whatever. But you can't get him to say anything about it now. It's weird. It's weird.
It is
like,
weird.
What is that? Like, a few years ago, he was all for it. And again, I know he is still for it. But he won't say one word about it now. Why? It's like there's almost a... At times, I can't help but wonder if there's some kind of agreement from these people on the right. Because it doesn't matter what, you know, which person on the right, whether it's where they're coming from, Mark Levin, the Hodge twins, Matt Walsh, Ben Shapiro, these guys will not touch the cannabis topic. They won't even talk about it.
Breitbart. Yeah.
They like ignore it. They like intentionally stay away from it.
I don't get it.
Have you noticed that?
I don't. I mean, I don't follow that too closely. But like you look at what just happened with the debt ceiling and how tough it was to get the budget balanced. And it's like, just from a financial or fiscal perspective, like the billions and billions of dollars that could be generated from legal and regulated cannabis sales would, I think, put a pretty significant dent in any deficit. And if you talk about, you know, the conservatives that are out there that, you know, look at that, I mean, wouldn't that be an angle to say, well, look, you want to balance the budget or generate some more revenue? This is a very easy way to do it.
One would think that. I mean, this is where you got to really look at where's the money being spent. Is it spent at the state level, the federal level? You know, I've been posting this one snapshot I found on Google about it's $10 billion a year is what they're spending. But yeah, is that federal money or state money? I don't really know. But it doesn't, I mean, the general concept is the state is spending your tax dollars, whether it's state or federal, and it's in the billions per year.
Wow.
And it's not effective. So whether it's state or federal, whether it really helped the federal deficit, I don't really know. But either way, like, this country's finances are an issue right now.
Yeah.
And it's like, we should be looking at all different options. And this is one right here. 90% of Americans oppose federal prohibition, like outright prohibition, whether that's like, whether they favor adult use legalization or rec or medical or whatever, that's separate. But full-blown federal prohibition is opposed by over 90% of Americans. Like, that's huge.
Yeah,
that tells you, okay, maybe we should have a discussion about, like, maybe we should stop wasting money on this. But no, they're not. Again, this wasn't even brought up at all in all this debt ceiling stuff.
It's frustrating.
Again, it's frustrating. It's
the one thing that can bring people together, and it does bring people together. Again, and that's what I love about it. I've talked to so many different people of all walks of life, all backgrounds, all nationalities and religions that are for this, and that's what's amazing to me in this day and age. You know,
that almost makes me think that's why they don't talk about it, because you know how politics works. I mean, like, the more I follow this, the more I've learned a lot in all this. I've learned a lot about how politics works, and you just see it. They do things to bolster their party. They don't do things to, like, literally fix the country. They do things to, like, in defense of the party, defense of the donors, and to, like, attack the other side. So now, like, we have this issue that all these people support. How does that hurt the other side? It doesn't. You know what I'm saying? So I kind of think because it's so bipartisan, they just ignore it. Does that make sense?
It makes complete sense. It's funny. In the book, I say, look, I think if you know, all these political conferences that they have to tackle climate change or healthcare issues or whatever, the economy, you get some cannabis in there, I guarantee you, you're going to have some agreements pretty quickly. You know, you're gonna get people agreeing on pretty much anything, but they don't want to do that.
But man, it's crazy. Like, they won't even have to they won't even have hearings on this.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, they're stoned. Like, it's just it's almost like they do everything they can to avoid this. It's like an elephant in the room.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, they don't want to talk about it.
Well,
they'll talk about everything, every topic. The mainstream media is just as guilty of this.
Yeah.
Like, they will talk about every topic, but this one, they just try to avoid it.
Can't touch, because they won't get advertisers.
It's weird. So
they won't get advertisers.
Because they know. It's because they know. I don't know. I think they know on an individual level. They know how messed up this all is, and they just...
Well, if you want to form a new Green Party or a 420 party, I'm on board with you, bringing Republicans and Democrats together. But I want to go in a little bit more real quick here in the 5 or so minutes, just in terms of your personal background with cannabis. You know, when did you start, and, you know, how much do you consume now? I know you mentioned that you kind of cut out liquor like I did. What's kind of your history with it, and some of the benefits that for you personally?
First time tried it in high school. One of my grade school buddies, you know, when I got into high school, he was kind of dabbling, and I experimented with him a few times and got into it. Admittedly, got busted by my parents a handful of times, and they weren't, you know, they were brainwashed into it. Again, a high school kid, the penalties were severe. I was headed toward college. They were right to be mad because, you know, I risked things by doing that, but you know, they were not happy, and I went away to college, and really this what's socially acceptable at that time, drinking beers at parties, that was fine. There was nothing wrong with that. And but if I were to have gotten caught smoking weed in my dorm, I would have gotten probably kicked out of school.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So I, believe it or not, in college I made this decision in my head, I'm a college guy now, basically an adult. I need to put the weed down, and I'll just drink beer because that's okay.
Right.
And that's what I did. And admittedly, I had a lot of fun with that, but I became like a partier into my 20s. I was a weekend partier with my buddies in down the city all the time, and it was fine. I never got any real trouble. I never really had any real problems. I definitely would overconsume on the weekends without a doubt, but it never really affected my personal life or anything. But once I went back to school to be a PT, and I kind of quit working full-time, and I was working part-time, living at home, and a lot of stress and a lot of changes in life. By the time I was at the end of graduate school, I was getting ready to start working, and I had a lot was going on. I was stressed out with a lot of things, and I wasn't seeing my friends as much. My wife and I, who I'm married with now, we had met at the time, and I was distancing myself from my friends, and my drinking habits and patterns changed a little bit. I was drinking more on my own now, and that's when I got kind of – that's when things got bad. Like, I didn't know how to really drink on my own, admittedly. Like, a beer on a Sunday afternoon would turn into a lot of alcohol, and it would affect my ability to go to work the next day and that kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
After years of kind of like a couple of bad bouts here and there, I got into a rut where I like couldn't stop. It was like 5 days of just nonstop drinking. And I went to rehab, and I put myself there, and I did a month there, really 3 weeks. I got out as soon as I could because it was rough. But since then, I've had no major relapses. I had one moment, one weekend where I was home alone for a weekend, and I was like, screw it, this is a good time to do this. And all it did was make me realize how stupid alcohol is. It was actually a very good thing that it happened, because I feel like I needed to get that out of my system.
Yep.
But it was nothing positive came from that at all. But now, like, after I got out of rehab, it was the end. It was like Christmas time. I got out right before Christmas. In my mind, I'm like, I'm not doing anything ever again. And then, like, January rolled around, and I was like, I had some weed. I was like, I'll smoke a little weed. And I realized, I'm like, man, this doesn't mess me up at all. And when I'm medicated, I have no desire to drink alcohol. Like, I literally, once that effect hits, I'm like, why would I want to mess this up with toxic, nasty booze? Like, it's like instantaneously my mind has changed. Like, it's cannabis, like, satisfies this inner craving I have for some kind of substance. Whereas alcohol, one sip just leads to the next and leads to the next and leads to the next. And there's never you're never satisfied.
Exactly, yeah.
But since, you know, when I kind of started getting back in the weed around January, I've been a daily consumer. And I really, like, I work. So I get up in the morning and I drink my coffee and I go to work. I don't to touch it all day until I get home from work at night. What I've been doing lately is I take flour and I make my own infused oil. And I do a dropper of that a night. And maybe I'll take a few bong hits at night before I go to bed. And that's what I do at night. I'm off from work today. I haven't touched anything yet today. I've been at the gym. I've done some business work. I'm going to do some yard work around here. And then later today, I'll probably do a little oil and then smoke again tonight.
Yeah.
It will have zero negative effect on me.
Yeah, that's amazing.
You know, and then on a day off, prior to all this, you know, I'd probably leave the house, go do something, and then stop at the bar real quick, have a beer and a shot.
Right.
And that would turn into the rest of the day just drinking.
Yeah.
And then the next day I would be completely screwed.
It's the more and more and more.
Again, man, it is night and day between these two drugs. It's so unfortunate that we compare them like they're similar.
Yeah.
When they're polar opposites.
Polar opposites.
Polar opposites.
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
and I literally look at cannabis as, you know, it's not going to work for everybody necessarily, but as a very legitimate medicine for anybody who struggles with alcohol. It's not going to work for everybody, I don't think. But if it worked for me, and I really do, I 100% believe that it has helped me with that.
Yeah.
I think it'll help a lot of people.
Well, I think there is some research that I saw maybe last month, that said cannabis may help people going through alcohol kind of recovery or withdrawal, it does relieve some of the symptoms. So they started, I think, doing that. But it's right. I mean, we've grew up with alcohol all around us, and that's how we learned. That's how our parents taught us, yeah, you can have a beer, have a glass of wine, have some liquor. And no one ever told us about cannabis. It was kind of the evil thing that the bad kids did. But in reality, in the book, I say it turns off my elevator music, which is essentially anything you got going on in the back of your brain, whether it's financial, personal, relationship, anything that causes stress, it turns that off and allows you just to focus on, you know, the here and now, the important things, your friends, your family, gardening, whatever makes you happy. And I love that. And I'm never going to go back to alcohol. And it sounds like you're not either. So,
and that's the other thing. Like, cannabis, like, allows you to enjoy, like, you can smoke some weed and then enjoy whatever it is you want to do. If you're drinking, that's the activity you're doing. Like, you're not doing other stuff. Nope. Not really. Especially once you get a few in you.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all you're doing. Whereas weed, like, I can smoke a little weed and go cut my grass. So, like,
yeah,
you know, clean my gutters. Get stuff done.
That's right.
Have fun with my kids.
Do some tweeting.
And be a responsible parent. Do some tweeting too, yeah.
Yeah, man, look, I appreciate you sharing your story. I think we have very similar kind of backgrounds and experiences. I don't know if you've read my book. If you do, at some point, would love to hear kind of what you think about it. My kind of story and my experiences were more about kind of the connections that I had, hence the name Higher Connections. While I'm high to people, I almost become like an empath. So it kind of took it more to a spiritual level for me. But certainly the benefits of just physically and mentally are there, and it sounds like they are for you too. So, you know, I certainly appreciate you coming on and telling your story. I wish you much luck spreading the word out there in Pennsylvania. And certainly if you want to do one of these again, happy to do it and kind of see how we progress over the next year or so and whether there's any success for you in Pennsylvania and me here with my book. But I really appreciate you coming on and telling your story.
I'm getting your book for sure. I actually saw a tweet about your book today, and I retweeted it.
Oh,
and I'm like, that's right, I got to get your book.
Oh, thank you.
In fact, actually, a guy a couple years ago, I'll send you the information. He sent me his book, similar topic. He struggled with alcohol for a long time, and he swears cannabis saved his life. He got out of that. It was a very good read. I'll send it to you.
Yeah,
it's short, it's easy to read, it's well written, enjoyable to read. It's a wild story. Yeah, you'd like it.
Yeah. Well, I'm an accountant, so I'm certainly not an author. I did the best I could, but it was a very interesting experience. But yeah, I mean, if you have a story to tell, certainly there are mediums to tell it. So if you want any suggestions or tips there, let me know. But I appreciate you joining me, man. Let's stay in touch, obviously, and you know, we'll see where this goes, but happy to form a new political party. I think that's the big thing that came out of this, right?
Eric, thanks, man. I appreciate your time.
All
thanks
right.
for having me.
All right, take care, buddy. Thank you so much. So just as an add-on to that podcast, you know, again, as I've stressed so many times, you know, cannabis can bring people together. It's a topic that I think we all, anyone that does it, any of you that are listening to this understand that it's a good thing in your life. And again, whether you're Republican, whether you're Democrat, whether you're older, whether you're younger, whether you're Jewish, Christian, agnostic, black or white, it's something we all understand and we appreciate, and we're in this together. And, you know, that's why we're doing this. That's why I'm doing this. And I appreciate everyone that's listening to this. Welcome any feedback that you have. As always, higherconnectionsnow@gmail.com, higherconnecti3 on Twitter. Some are on Facebook, some are on Instagram, but appreciate you all listening. And what do we say? Stay connected or something? I don't know. Stay connected.